Okay, thank you everyone. We're actually ready to start again. And I'll just wait for everybody to settle in. You've got your coffees and dessert. If anyone wants to grab a coffee and dessert, quickly get it. But otherwise, we're going to just start. It's my great pleasure to introduce Sharon Wood, who is the CEO of Kids Help Phone, and Alan Johnston, right? Alan is the director of the Montreal Kids Help Phone branch. And they are going to launch. They've been here this morning. They had a press conference in Montreal, and it's a very exciting day for them today because they're launching a new app on Kids Help Phone. I'm also a board member of Kids Help Phone, so I'm here wearing, I guess, two hats for this one, and I'm really proud to be part of this. And it's, again, timely, given the fact that the new law is going to be brought down by the federal government, and it's anti-bullying week. So a lot's going on, but it's really good to see something positive coming out today, a positive way that will support kids. This, as we know, this conference has been sponsored by the Institute of Human Health, Human Development and Well-being. Well, Kids Help Phone is all about supporting the well-being of kids, and that's why the work that Kids Help Phone does is of incredible importance in Canada for Canada's youth. And so, without further ado, I'll welcome Sharon Wood. Thank you.
Thank you, Shaheen. Thank you very much, Shaheen. It's a pleasure to be here, and we are honored to have Dr. Sharif on our board of directors, given the leadership we're bringing as a country, and certainly in this sphere of youth service delivery around issues like bullying, cyberbullying. And Shaheen serves on our clinical advisory committee, which helps inform the direction we take on some significant youth-serving issues. So what I want to do today, I'm sure people have heard, I'll actually say, how many of you have heard of Kids Help Phone? Oh, great. Full penetration of knowledge of our organization, at least our name, and it's also Jeunesse Chakout. We are the one and the same. But what is often not known is the degree to which we've changed and renewed our service, our delivery, our access points, and what young people bring to us. So what we want to do today is spend some time just quickly level setting the group on what kind of work we do and in what way we do it, and encouraging some questions at the end. Alain is the clinical director of French language services at Jeunesse Chakout, our counseling center in Montreal, also leads a team of counselors who deliver service in English and French, and is part of a number of our significant new initiatives. So between us, we'll be able to respond to your questions. But one of the things, the starting point for me today is to let you know, and I've heard a little bit because we came in towards the end of your last session, is we focus every aspect of our service delivery on with youth engagement in the process. So every element of what we design, deliver, create, bring forward has come from youth involvement, whether it's our website, our tools, things we'll talk about this morning, this afternoon. But it just recognizing that we have this unique place. It's not what parents or educators think kids think. We hear directly from young people about what they think, and we make sure that we test the way we approach things with young people, because they'll tell us, uh-uh, you know, you can't use that word. That means nothing to us. So we'll make sure you see the places where the youth engagement has helped inform our service delivery. So very quickly, we always start a presentation with a quote. This is, one day I called from school because I was getting bullied to the point where I couldn't really know what to do. And you guys really made a difference in my life because I was heard and able to judge, and all I needed was an ear. Thanks. This is a quote from a young person who used our service and called in and left that message on a voicemail box that we have. We have, a commitment to ensuring anonymity and confidentiality, so we use silhouettes instead of faces to demonstrate that anonymity. This is just who we are, Sharon and Alain. And we'll quickly give you an overview of a few of our services, and then Alain will bring you into the mobile app piece that Shaheen has referenced. So our mission, and to bring you up to speed, it's to improve the well-being of youth in Canada by providing them anonymous and confidential professional counseling, referrals, and information in English and French through technologically based communications media, and we'll show you a few examples of that. And our vision is very much along those lines, to continue to improve and grow to ensure we deliver the most effective resources. So we've had to recreate ourselves many times since we launched and opened our phone lines 20 years ago, 25 years ago. So those of you in the room probably heard of Kids Help Phone from when it opened its lines in 1989, but we have been adapting through launching in 2002 an online presence and some online web counseling, but it was just more of a very static approach, and it was more, I would call it, brochureware as opposed to a true interactive website. But we launched four websites in 2010, which are considered now... they're award-winning on a number of levels, but they're a youth-focused interactive design, English and French, for kids and teens. We piloted live chat counseling, and that's still ongoing, and we have moved forward with mobile solutions. 5,000 young people contact Kids Help Phone every week, just to give you context. Is that more than people might have thought? We think of Canada, so that's across this country, and it's 24/7. So whether it's the after other services are closed or after in the middle of the night when there's a cause for concern or a question or a crisis, we are there when other services aren't. Just the counseling formats we have today are by phone, by web post, and we'll tell a little bit more about that, and by live chat. And this it's hard to read from wherever you are in the room, so I'll just explain that the top percentage, this is a map of Canada, of course, but the top percentage is the percentage of youth ages 5 to 20 by province. So if you look in Ontario and in Quebec, so percentage of youth in Ontario is 38.7% according to Stats Canada, and the number of Kids Help Phone clients during the evaluation period that we recently completed, we discovered over 50% of our clients during that evaluation period were from Ontario. You can see our penetration in Quebec isn't the same as the number of youth. In part, in Quebec, there is another service, Tel Jeune, that's focused on Quebec only. We provide service across the country. So we're over-delivering in some provinces and not quite reaching the penetration in others, but we're growing on an ongoing basis. The issues people bring, we're here to talk about bullying today, but young people aged 5 to 20 use the service, and they bring every issue possible, from addictions to pressures in school, or relationship challenges, anxiety, depression, all the way to self-harm and thoughts of suicide. We play a key intervention role at Kids Help Phone. We really are focused on ensuring we're in the right place in the continuum of care. So our sweet spot is in that blue circle in the middle. We reduce distress by encouraging insight and helping young people develop life skills and plans. We're not there to tell them how to do the next thing. We're there to help surface what is the right next thing in their lives. But we also play a critical role in ensuring, encouraging access to clinical care. We might be identifying an issue or a problem that requires a referral. And we might be an important adjunct or a support during care. And what we mean by that is young people who use our service may already be seeing a therapist or a counselor. They may also be on a waiting list for care and don't know what to do as they wait 6 months, a year for that first opportunity. We support kids between appointments, and we support kids who've got something they need to practice with the adult in their lives. So I think Alain is now going to walk us through some key pieces of our service delivery. Thank you.
Alors bonjour tout le monde. Hi. Sorry for my voice and for my English, but I'll do my best. Okay. One goal we have at Kids Help Phone is to offer different ways for kids to reach out to us so that every kid will be able to use the technology that fits with who he is and where he is at the moment he's contacting us. So we'll go rapidly around the wheel. So first thing is, and that's been a choice since Kids Cell Phone exists, to have professional counseling instead of volunteer. Because for us, what's important is we have like one chance, one contact on the chat or on the phone, and we have to provide the best service we can. And so those counselors have a university degree, and they are always trained in-house. Right? Okay. So phone has always been and will remain the main service, because when you do counseling face-to-face, okay, you have all the body language, the emotion, the rhythm, that tells you a lot of things. When you're on the phone, you lose the body language, but you still access what kind of words is that kid using? What is the emotion we can hear? But it's still possible to help them. And the farther we go from face-to-face using technology, every time we lose something. But what's amazing is even if we are working on chat, or even if we're answering a letter we receive, there's always the space where we can reach out and help them. So, phone is quite traditional. The clinical approach we are using is a brief therapy solution focus, because we think that that clinical approach focused on here and now, what can you do to feel better? What could you do to be safer for now, is working with kids. And even in really crisis calls like suicide, we're able to achieve that goal, to reach a point where there's a turning point in what the kids are sharing with us, where we can build on that turning point to build a safety plan. We won't solve everything that is going in his life, but for now the focus is what can you do by yourself or with help to be safe for now. And for now could mean a few hours or until tomorrow morning or for a few days. When a kid calls us, let's say at 4:30 in the afternoon, and he says to the counselor, I can't do it anymore. I can't go on. It's been so tough and for so long, for a few months. I'm alone. I've lost my friend. I've been bullied since the beginning of the year. If it's 4:30 in the afternoon, he's just coming back from school and he needs to debrief. He needs to just let it out. If the same kid is calling us at 4:30 in the morning, he's not sleeping, and things have been running in his head over and over and over for so many hours. So probably at 4:30 in the morning, we still have counselors at the office, but I'm sure that the distress level is so much higher, and there is no room for mistakes. So a little bit pressure on my team. Okay. But they are really doing a great job. Okay. Another service is Ask Us Online, because some kids are not ready for, I don't know, many reasons to call us. So the service allows kids to send us their post, their letter. The letter will be read by the same counselors, and we will provide a personal answer. Sometimes we have like two or three sentences. That's all. Sometimes we have 500 characters without punctuation, without paragraph. It's like one solid block of feeling bad or being hurt. When we put Ask Us Online, one thing that was important for us is to maintain confidentiality, anonymity, and we wanted to be sure that kids would be safe by using this service. So kid will log on our website. They're not sending us email, because if I receive an email, I answer. Anybody in the family could open the email account and read. So they will go through our website. So the only thing that appears in the history is kid's cell phone. And then he can invent any excuse to justify why he went on our website. The kid will create his profile, so his nickname, password. But what we do is the question and the answer are public because it's anonymous. And often we will remove from the post any details that would be risky to so that kid could be recognized. And the reason why we are posting in public is because I think we believe strongly in the impact that those questions and answers will have on other kids. And I'm pretty sure that many kids will just read those answers, find their own answers, and won't never contact us. Often the letter begins by, after reading other posts, here is my own question. So by reading other posts, kids will feel less alone because there are others going through the same thing. Right. Okay. Live chat. This was a great adventure that started like, 2 years and a half ago. So it was a pilot for many months. And we did chat because kids were asking us to do chat. They even asked us to do chat with webcam. So we asked them, will it be anonymous if we have a webcam? So then they said, okay, put the webcam away, but we still need chat. The first challenge for us was to help counselors transfer their counseling skills from the phone to chat. What's happening in the relationship between the counselor and the kid is the same thing. It's just slower because you have to read, think, answer, read, think, answer. So what we can achieve on the phone, let's say in 20 minutes on the chat, usually it's more around 40 minutes. So it's really slower. The other thing is, let's say you're on the phone and the kid needs to think about what he just said or what you said. We can hear the kid thinking. But on the chat, if there's no answer, is he thinking? Does he need that time? Or is he, I don't know, did he went to the washroom or is he chatting with his friend? So it's a little bit challenging. So for counselor, it was a lot of hard work to transfer those professional skills from one medium to the other. We have the same concern about safety for kids. So what we chose as a technology, kids will come on our website, they will open a session, and there's like a clock telling them when we are open and not open. And then they will log on. The only information they have to provide us is, are they a boy or a girl, the age and the province, so we can adjust. We are using IP addresses to filter any chat coming from outside Canada because we don't have the resources. We don't have community resources for outside Canada. But the problem with IP address, if we use them as a filter, we can identify that kid, so it's not anonymous anymore. So after a few seconds, as soon as the connection has been made, the IP address will be deleted. So it, as on the phone, we cannot trace calls. On the chat, it's the same thing. What we realize is not only did kids want this new technology, because they are using it every day, so they are familiar with that technology, with that way of communicating. We had expected that kids would use MSN language, and my counselors were not aware of that, so we had work on that. But what's amazing is kids know that they are not, it's not small talk, it's not chatting with a friend. They are writing full words and full sentences, which is great because they know, and that's what they are looking for, a counseling conversation with a counselor. What we realized, and because it was new for us, we thought that boys would use more chat than phone. Our surprise is boys are using less chat than we thought. The other thing is, I would say the intensity is more, is higher on the chat. There are many, many, many kids who will, on the chat, tell us, I've never talked about that to anybody. It's the first time I'm talking about it. So distress chat, suicidal chat, despair chat are more frequent on the chat than on the phone. Okay. We have for Canada over 46,000 programs serving more than 17,500 communities. I think in Quebec it's almost 9,000 resources only in Quebec. So at the end of any intervention on the phone or on the chat, we can provide that information so kids can link to the kind of need or the kind of resources they are looking for. And we are pretty proud, I would say, of our new app, Always There. The name, the color, the design, and even the content were chosen by youth. Our goal, because we thought about it a lot, and it's also about keeping kids safe. And on the web, you can find the best and the worst. And we knew that on our website, we had good, strong, clinical content in our info booth. We knew that kids could contact us at any time. So for us, putting an app was another way to help kids connect with us. So we've worked a lot with them to understand what they were expecting. And what they told us is, first of all, they wanted to understand what they are going through. They wanted to be able, with a click, with a button, to connect on the chat or through phone with a counselor. They wanted tip sheets, information on what can you do if, let's say, you're bullied or cyberbullied. And they wanted to know where they could get help. So that's, I would say, the four directions on which we've worked to design the new app. Okay. So here are some functionality that are already online. So we have what we call the feeling log. And that's something that kids ask for. And to be honest, I didn't believe in it at the beginning, but it's working. And I know that therapists are using this app with adults. So tonight, log on the app and start using it. So every day at any time, kids will go. They have like 40 emoticons reflecting how they feel. They can choose it then. They can write in which context they are feeling like that. And that information will be saved on a journal. So at the end of the week, they can look. They have like a picture of what they went through. Some kid told us, it's bizarre. Every time I feel frustrated, usually at school, right after that, I feel angry. And it was the first time he was making that kind of connection. A kid could say, bizarre. Every Sunday afternoon after 4 p.m., I'm starting to feel down, feeling depressed. Nothing is nice in my life. And when you talk with that kid, we discover that behind that, he's bullied at school. So now we understand what can trigger those feelings. So for them, it's a way to just understand a little bit more or in an easier way how they are feeling. And we know that sometimes kids are overwhelmed by their feelings, especially kids who are bullied or cyberbullied, because when they contact us, the first thing they tell us is, even if I talk about it, there's no way to stop it. There's nothing. There's this huge feeling of being powerless. Okay, so I think this tool can really help them. Kids are also going through a lot of stress at school, at home, in sports, and everywhere. So we designed what they called a stress buster. So it's a series of, I don't know, phrases, quotes, jokes. Much of them are coming from kids, and we put them online after reading them. So kids can, let's say, after a stressful or before a stressful exam, go on his stress booster, find a quote about math, laugh a little bit about it, and being in a better place to do his exam. There's always two button where they can just click on it to contact by phone a counselor or to contact a counselor by chat when the chat is open. And one section that is not there is the info booth. So what we're trying to do is take content from our info booth on our website and transfer it in a smaller version to the website. There was this girl who told a counselor she was at school and she was a little bit nervous because there was a lot of bullying and violence on the school bus right home. And before getting on the bus, she went and she found some cues or some tips that help her to deal with that situation. She was a bystander. She was not a victim. But by putting that info on the app, it's easier, and they have access to that info in all time. We have also online counseling resources and tools, so we are, as often as possible, trying to develop new tools for youth. The main priority for us is to publish solid, clinical, updated content, to put that content in a language that will be accessible for kids or for teens. So that's why we have two websites in French and two in English. And that content, info booth, will be transferred slowly but surely to our new app. Thanks. So, because we are talking about bullying today, so bullying-related questions and concern brought forward by young people to Kids Health Phone account for approximately 10% of professional counseling contact. That means that 10% of the time, at the end of the call or the chat session, the counselor will click bullying or cyberbullying as the main focus of the conversation. But we know that kids will talk about depression, about peer relationship, about school or family issues, and that's the main focus, but we know that behind there is often a situation of bullying. So for me, 10% is like the tip of the iceberg. Traffic on bullying and cyberbullying pages on our kids and teens website peak in November. I don't know why, but it's in November, okay. Which is Bullying Aware Month, so that's a good news. 28.5% of traffic coming to Kids Health Phone website was a user viewing, clicking on bullying content. That doesn't mean that those 25% were victim. And often when, especially when we're talking about cyberbullying, we're forgetting bystanders. Because bullying needs to have an audience, okay? And often kids on social media see and read things and they feel so bad about it. And they don't know what to do. Should I be part of that conversation? Should I oppose? Should I stand up and say, no, whoa, it's enough, stop? But doing that, I'm more at risk. But if I protect myself by saying nothing, then I feel awful. So I think that in those almost 29%, there is a lot of bystander. Bullying was ranked number four on the list of top keywords searched. Our bullying information games and interactive tool were viewed by over 228,000 and so times last year in Ontario only. We don't have the number for Canada. What's interesting in that is kids are not passive. They want to change things. As victim, they want to find a way out. They want to be protected. But as bystander, they are still looking for solutions or for answers. We know that kids are patient. They take their time. They like to read a lot. So we are designing what we call games or interactive tools, because we think, probably more for boys, that those tools will be a better way to reach them. Views of posts on bullying Ask Us Online forums were read over 43,300 times in Ontario. So all those kids are not bullied, but all those kids are touched by bullying and cyberbullying. And most of them feel powerless. So I think one thing that we can do and we must do is listen to them, work with them, and start finding actions that they can do to be safer or to know what to do, to put an end to that feeling of there's nothing we can do. Okay, coming soon, because we like good news. So we are working to redo all the bullying content, and it was, I think, online already. And hopefully in January on our app, kids will access a new tool, so they will be able to find resources in their community. So by whatever. So they will have a map of their neighborhood, and all the resources will pop up. And if they choose, like on Google Map, and if they click one resource, then they will have the address, how to get there, what kind of services are provided by that organization, is there any cost, is there any waiting list, and things like that. So I think that by doing that, we are giving back power to those kids who are able to find by themselves what they are looking for. Okay, just a few examples. We were talking about four different websites. So the kids' website, and all the content are for kids or teen. It's the same content. The only difference is the design. Merci. The design and the language. Okay, so there are sections on bullying and cyberbullying in both teen and kids' website. I was talking about tools because all the kids are not ready to call or to reach out for a counselor. And I would say all the kids don't need all the time to talk to a counselor. So by providing tools that are fun to use, I think that they are able to find their own solutions. So this is an example on the kids' website. Your space, feeling, forensic, game. Exactly. This is one in French about friendship. And on every topic, there's always the same sections. Okay, what are we talking about? Everything is not bullying. Okay, a conflict between two youth can be even violent, but it's not necessarily bullying. So we try to give a clear definition so everybody knows we are talking about the same thing. There's always a section about what can they do if they are a victim, what can they do to help a friend, and what they can do to reach out. Okay. We have developed this bullying safety planner, and we had questions about that, and at one point we said no. When a kid is bullied, and it's even worse in cyberbullying, the first thing the bully will take away from that kid is the power to do something. So we thought that by giving something like a bullying safety planner, it was a way to give back power to empower them. So it's quite easy. So they will choose... when I feel threatened, I can tell friends, and by clicking on the arrow, it will bring them to a simple tip sheet when we explain to them step by step what they can do. And often there is a plan B, because when a kid tries something, if it doesn't work right away, they will just stop. So often we'll say, okay, it may not work as you planned, but there is you should have a plan B. And what could be that plan B? Same thing on the kids' website. Design is different. The language is simpler, but the content is the same. So by having a strong clinical website with content, by having those tools, we know that we won't find a final miracle solution to bullying. But by doing that, we are convinced that we are providing support to kids and bystander. And in the bullying section, there's at the bottom something, what can you do if you are bullying someone? So nobody has been forgotten. And what we hope with the new app in French and in English is all those tools will become available, because kids will be able to go from the app to the website.
So probably a few more things than you might have imagined that Kids Help Phone had in place. Just so many things that we've built over the last couple of years. I'm going to turn us to just a few more pieces before we'll open it for any questions. But first of all, service statistics. Who reaches out to Kids Help Phone? What's their age range? So we have a bit of a sweet spot in the 12 to 16 age. About 50% of our total contacts each week are in that age group. But a surprising number are 17 to 20. That's almost a third of our contacts are in that age group, ending high school, going into that age of transition into first year university, college, other post-secondary endeavor. And then we have a small but significant number still of younger people who call. The other piece is the male-female split, and Alain touched on this, about the smaller number of males who reach out for support. And one of our goals as we move forward is to understand better what the barriers are to reaching out for help that young males and males in general have in our context. We know it's probably a number of different things. It could also be the name of the service and finding new portals. But we wanted to just share with you that we've applied for and received word that we have been accepted for a significant investment from Movember Canada. So Movember, which had been focused on prostate cancer research funding, has moved into a new sphere of male health and focusing on mental health. And so in this first year of their call for proposals, Kids Help Phone put in a submission to focus on new research around what are the barriers to reaching out for help and help-seeking behavior for males, and to do research and create a new aspect, a portal to our service that would inspire and connect boys. And it will work with several partners who are working on the ground with boys and build a new aspect to a creative outlet. And we don't know what that will look like in the next couple of years, but this investment is significant, and we're going to be excited to show you in a few years' time or let you know what's happened to help boys reach out. We're also excited. We're in a university context, and to just let you know, 40 proposals went to an international peer review panel. Only 7 of those 40 were funded. 5 of them were funded to universities doing research across Canada. 1 was to the Center of Addiction and Mental Health, so CAMH, and 1 was to Kids Help Phone. So we're quite proud to be in that environment, and also knowing they're excited about being able to be active participants in research that will make a difference directly with service delivery. So why people reach out for help? Ella touched on the percentage that's bullying, but really peer relationships is embedded in that too, as is violence and abuse. Suicide and suicide-related work, which people often think of Kids Help Phone about, is about 6% of our overall contacts. But emotional and mental and emotional health is over a quarter of our contacts. And then in terms of types of bullying, verbal, emotional, psychological, bystander, physical. Cyberbullying right now is listed at 7% of our total bullying contacts. So it's a smaller slice, but as Alain mentioned, it's often embedded. We don't often know. A young person will start a conversation with a counselor in one place, and they may eventually get to another place, but we don't always have confidence that we've got all the elements captured in the stats. We have a youth campaign that just helps get the word out about the service. I'm just going to go through that, and then just a couple of words before we finish about our evaluation. So, Kids Help Phone has this quantitative clarity that of young people reaching out for help, the 5,000 contacts a week. But what does that mean? Have we made a difference? Has there been an impact? What was the effect of that support? We realized we really only had an anecdotal basis to say we were effective. We had remarkable thank you messages from young people across the country over the years, but we needed to find a way to engage with young people who use the service to better understand whether it was effective. What's the impact of our counseling methods? And what was interesting was the struggle to sort through how to do research when the service delivery is anonymous and confidential. So we were thrilled to receive support from the Center for Excellence in Child and Youth Mental Health out of CHEO to support capacity building for evaluation in our organization. And that allowed us to put in place an evaluation process to determine whether our counseling services were making a positive difference and to learn about our client needs. So that capacity building grant helped us frame and create a methodology for research with a service that's anonymous and confidential. We can't go back 2 weeks later and say, did what we did with you work? It's not the same as face-to-face environments. So here's a couple of examples of our impact. We have three areas that were incredibly important in our logic model, but one was to reduce distress. So 87% of our phone clients and 75% of our live chat clients experience a reduction in distress because of our efforts. And increase clarity around how to move forward based on the intervention, and increase confidence in their own ability, strategies to manage what they're facing. So that was pretty positive for us. Just a quote from a young person, he made me feel a lot better about myself and what I'm capable of doing. This idea that any intervention with the service would leave a young person with a sense of hope, a sense of their own resilience and ability to move forward. Another piece around the service evaluation is 86% of chat clients would recommend Kids Help Phone. So what's their own personal satisfaction? 96% of phone clients would call again, and 91% said they got the help that they hoped for. So it's a whole different angle on that question. Another area that we were interested in was who is reaching out for help. We know, you know, male, female, we know the types of calls, we have a general sense, our counselors are remarkable in their capacity to tease out aspects of the background of the young people they're speaking to. But we didn't know until we did this evaluation that 10% of our contacts are First Nations, Aboriginal, or Métis, which is twice their presence in the national population. 16% of the young people I self-identified as LGBTQ, 4% identified as transgender. So this is significant understanding of the people who are tremendously underserved and potentially vulnerable youth who are using the service. And one last, this bubble in the middle says good to talk. Just want to share with you that in the province of Ontario, we were given funding to launch a pilot for a post-secondary helpline. And it's not called Kids Help Phone. We went to youth to inform what it should be. We went to post-secondary students and built a framework. And this new helpline is called Good to Talk, Allô J'écoute. And the examples of the kind of contacts that they have are, the topics are a little bit different. I think I'll just touch on, we're part of an international organization of helplines that also just to say this live chat and the mobile app that we've framed for you, we are discovering that we're being turned to by helplines around the world to train their counselors, whether it's the delegation that came up this summer from Guatemala and Colombia, whether it's Alain and his team being asked to go to Vietnam, Cambodia. We have groups coming from the Mauritius, Togo, us going there. It's just remarkable the involvement that we have in helping to support organizations around the world who want to build their expertise. And I think I'll just go through, maybe just say, with thanks to Shaheen, who's in the room, that we were invited last year, and we worked very hard in 2012 to be part of to be involved in the as an intervener in the Supreme Court case, and I know the encouragement that Shaheen offered us and our work with a law firm, Osler, who gave their support, we were able to be an effective intervener in that initiative, the AB versus Bragg. So this morning, excellent. So I'm sorry we weren't here to hear that, but we were proud to be part of that. And I'd say Shaheen was a significant spearhead and catalyst to our capacity around that, but it was a remarkable opportunity. And since then, we're working through ways that we can add to the dialogue from the perspective of the voices of young people. And I'll just close off by saying what we have been able to do in Canada is, I think, remarkable on one level, but also a testament to the generosity of Canadians, because only 10% of our funding comes from government, and it's project-based funding. And so we really are accomplishing this from everything from, quite frankly, bake sales and birthday parties to foundation giving, corporate sponsorships, investments of individuals, et cetera. So just to say we're truly a national community-based charity who has made it its business over the last 25 years to make a difference. And these were two posts. I'll just read one. I just want you to remember that you do make a difference for kids like me. You made an awesome difference in my whole entire life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So with that, we have a few moments for questions, but also we never finish a presentation without asking for encouraging people, if they have young people in their lives, with a mobile device, to we tell parents and people with other folks in their lives to make sure that the phone number for Kids Help Phone is programmed into the phone, that you encourage young people to look at the site, the website, that you encourage the download of the mobile app. It is just a remarkable way to keep either yet that young person safe or to keep their friend safe, because just as many times as we have a young person reaching out for themselves, sometimes they're reaching out because they're worried about a friend. So thank you for your attention. Thank you, and Alain and I are here for a few more minutes if you have questions.
Yeah, sorry, just because it's live streamed.
How do you determine when you're collecting your data? How do you determine gender? How do you ask?
So I'll answer for the evaluation. You can answer for the... So can you hear me? So for our evaluation, the evaluation results that showed the 16% LGBTQ and the 4% transgender, that was self-identified. So we actually had a question in the evaluation, which was... how that worked was a young person would have completed a counseling intervention, and they were asked at the end if they would be willing to participate in an evaluation of the service they had received, and they'd be transferred to it was actually research assistants that we trained to do this work, and it would be their anonymity and confidentiality were protected. It was not going to be the same person they'd spoken to who would evaluate, who would hear what they had to say. And that transfer went to a research assistant in another room, and in the list of questions, one of the questions was, how would you identify personally? So that's how, so they had a choice, and they were read a list, and they could then choose for themselves how they would present.
I would say for regular contact through the phone or the chat. So at the chat, while the kid is waiting to be connected, we ask different questions, province, male, female, or transgender, and the age. So the first thing the counselor will see at the beginning of the conversation is that information to be able to adjust.
So you do have transgender as a choice?
Yep, okay. Exactly. And on the phone, well, just depending on what we hear, how the kid is talking about himself or herself.
The other piece of that is even our questions that we ask in the waiting to get onto a live chat, they've all been vetted by youth who said, yeah, use this language, don't use that language. So we have to keep that updated. Mm-hmm. Every single page of our website has a rate this page aspect, and it's awesome. The remarkably actionable suggestions that young people offer. So we love this content, you missed the point on this, how about this, and our, so every week we are able to action. And that probably the language we have on that page would have come directly from young people.
Yeah. And for us, it's important to validate that language. I will just give you an example. We had a grant from a bank to renew and do all over all the content, about sexual orientation. And so we were using LGBTQ. And when we talked to kids, they said, "What's that?" So there are language we are used as counselor or teachers or professional are used to use that language, but it doesn't mean anything for them. So for us, and especially when we're talking about topics like suicide or bullying or cyberbullying, to have exactly the right words so kids will be able to relay on those words.
So what we've presented here would be adult language to a certain audience, but it wouldn't be how we would speak to young people.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Yes. Anybody else? Any other questions, comments? Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I'm just wondering, are there any other organizations like this around the world, things that you've learned from them or you'd like to learn going forward?
Sure. In there are about 140 child helplines internationally. The largest are in the UK, Australia, and Canada. We'd be considered top three in the world and actually the top one that would be offering service in two languages. But we do a lot of best practice sharing. So Australia had already done something in live chat, so we were able to learn from them. The UK came and spent time with us around our website and our child-focused approach, our youth engagement. The US, there isn't a helpline in the United States that's the same as us. It's all fragmented. It's regionalized or it's content-based. It might be an abuse line, a runaway line, this line or that line. So what we did discover in building a coalition there was the opportunity for us to give training to all the counselors there on bullying and cyberbullying counseling. And so that happened last year. So it's an active best practice sharing on a kind of informal basis between helplines, and I had no idea the degree of that involvement till I joined. And you've spoken at some of the conferences in South America. And
just one more question. I'm not sure if you touched on this, but as far as getting this into the schools and things like that, I don't know. I mean, I've been out of school for a while myself, but how much is it a part of the curriculum and the consciousness of kids going through you know, is it something that's they know about nowadays, just from teachers and stuff? Or
it's an ongoing opportunity for us to get in schools. We have a pretty significant penetration of posters across the country, and then continuing to find the groups who can help us get to kids. So we have a school-based program. We have outreach in various communities that are very, and then school boards is another opportunity. So we come at it from as many angles as we can. And I think our market research showed that, I think it was astonishingly high, 96% of young people knew about Kids Help Phone, Jeunesse Écoute. It doesn't necessarily mean that, though, they know about who we are today. They may just know there's a phone number. So there's an ongoing, now there's public service announcements and partnerships with Much Music and a great array of artists now who will create music that will have a tagline around us. So we do know that the creative ways to get the word out are the best for young people and often when they're youth-led. Would you add anything?
Thank you.
Would you like... Oh, is there anyone else? Any other comments? No, well, I guess thank you so much.
Merci beaucoup.
And